Night Talk. I'm joined here in the station with Joe Nebezinski and Russ Fry from our station, and we have a special guest, and we will talk about that in a few seconds. But as always, let us begin with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As you probably noticed, we didn't mention Joe Murphy. Joe is a little under the weather. He's struck with the COVID bug and I think a few other things. But today is a special day for us because we get to see one of our favorite priests. And I guess he's one of our favorite priests because it's his job to bring in more priests.
We hope.
So without further ado, Father Sawicki, Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Harrisburg.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to be with you again.
It's good to have you here. So you got something coming up at the end of this month.
June 26th to the 30th down at Mount St. Mary's Seminary, we have our annual Quo Vadis Days retreat. And Quo Vadis Days has been a part of the Diocese of Harrisburg since 2005. When the first Quo Vadis Days was down there at the Mount, and it's run every year except for that 1 year of 2020 when nothing much went on anywhere. But we were back in great fashion last year, 2021, and we had about 40 or so young men who came for the retreat, and then we're hoping for that again this year. It's a retreat. And it's interesting because it's sometimes if a some of our listeners go on retreat, they go to the Mount St. Mary's Corpus Christi retreat, you know, in August, I think, and you have a retreat master for the weekend, and it's talks, it's food, and it's sleeping. We have that at Quo Vadis Days, but it's also a lot of camaraderie. It's spiritual direction, so it runs from Sunday through Thursday. And so all various priests of the diocese come down. They give talks. They give ability for spiritual direction for the young men. And these guys are between the ages of 15 and 25. So some of them, they're learning spirituality. They're learning how to pray with the scriptures. They're given the invitation, especially, is God calling them to the priesthood? So it's really important because it both helps man discern his vocation, but it also plants the seeds when it gives that young man a question, what's God asking you to do in your life? You know, Bishop Gaynor had some various baccalaureates this past year said there's the two most important dates in every person's life, the day they're born and the day they realize why they were born. And I've heard this from Bishop Gaynor say this twice already, and it really, you know, hits home as a vocation director, you know, to ask that young man or that young woman at Fiat Days, that young man at Quo Vadis Days, you know, what is God asking you to do in your life, with your life? And some people say, you know, Father, 15 is too young to think about the priesthood. Well, you know, we're telling kids when they're 15 to, you know, which Division I school they're all going to be playing football for.
Yes.
And it's not too early to get them thinking, what is God asking them to do and how to grow in holiness?
I've had the privilege of being at the very first Quo Vadis Days. And it is an experience like no other that you'll ever have. I saw back then Bishop Rhodes. He had spent, it was an inordinate amount of time considering how little time a bishop has.
Right.
He must have spent 45 minutes with one young man and just talking with him and walking around the campus. And I think that that does so much to allow these young people to feel a closeness to God and a closeness to our faith. And you know, let's face it, without priest, there is nothing because then there's no Eucharist. And without the Eucharist, who are we?
That's exactly right. And that's not to make it clergy-centered, but it's just the reality of what our Lord established at the Last Supper. You know, Holy Thursday, every year when you have an opportunity to witness the washing of the feet and the procession of the Blessed Sacrament and then the gospel of the washing of the feet and then that celebration of the Holy Eucharist when the priest says, on the night before he was given up to death, that is today, you know, and you get as a priest, as a celebrant of the Mass, you get goosebumps because this is what the Lord established in holy orders with the Eucharist and the Eucharist with holy orders. And so you know, Holy Thursday is that very special day for every priest, but it's also a very special day for us as the church because we have those two sacraments intricately bound together. That we have the sacrament of mercy with confession. There's the sacrament of healing with the anointing of the sick, and it's done with the hands of priests. And I think that that's why it's important for every Catholic to pray for that increase in vocations to the priesthood especially, so we continue to have these sacraments which nourish us and heal us and strengthen us.
Father, I've been able to go down to Covadas Days and help out. And I always, to me, it's a profound experience to see those young men together interacting with the deacons and the priests that are there. What kind of impressions do you get from the priests after having experienced that? Because it seems like that would be a really neat experience for them too.
Priests are re-energized when they see these guys,
mm-hmm.
when they see the young men and the quality of the confessions. Now, we don't talk about much of the confessions, but we walk away humbled because you see a young man. Usually we walk away saying, these guys would be better candidates than we were at their age, okay? Because, you know, the young men, this is the importance of Quo Vadis days. Here's the thing as well with Quo Vadis. Have we had a blessing of vocations in our diocese because of Quo Vadis days? Absolutely. But we also have, I believe, dedicated husbands and fathers 15, 17 years after the first Quo Vadis days that they are practicing the faith now. One of our priests who went through Quo Vadis days had younger brothers who went through Quo Vadis days as well. And he said, my brothers are practicing Catholics today because they had the experience of prayer and of witness at Quo Vadis days. They don't want to be priests, but they're practicing Catholics. So I think that's the value of this retreat experience, both in the vocational discernment, but also just, you know, the growth in Christian virtue. You know, you understand sin, you understand grace, you understand forgiveness, you understand friendship, which is really important because, you know, phones and all that, you know, mm-hmm. we think that that could replicate friendship. But that heart-to-heart that you have at Quo Vadis days, you have the recreation time, the meal times. Guys come from different parishes, different schools, and they become friends and they stay in contact with each other afterward. And I think that's a really important experience that our church offers.
I think, you know, like I said, I've had the opportunity to go to all of them, and I walk away, I think, a better person just because of it. So much time that we have there, I know that one of the things we've always tried to do is get the knights that are working in between times, shift watch, go up to see our Lord, because he's always exposed, and, yes. and you know, we get to go up there and pray with, I guess, actually open up our hearts to him and let him know what we're thinking and what we're feeling and what we need to do and how we need to get better. And I agree with you 100%. I think it makes the knights that attend better men and better Catholics. And I think that's something that's important to all of us too.
And I think speaking as a Knight of Columbus, when the gentlemen who are preparing the meals, for instance, from the knights from throughout the diocese, when they see these young guys and these young guys see the knights not just as the guys in the berets and suits at a diocesan function or at a parish function, first communion or a procession or something, they see them like, no, this is what you do. This is what it means to be a Catholic gentleman in that you're giving service, a really meaningful service. And as you guys know, If unless it's stapled down, those kids are going to eat it.
That's so true. I mean, Mike Casey has been fantastic for us over the years. He was at the very first one, and he keeps meticulous records. It gets to the point right now where we know exactly how much food to buy, how much they're going to eat. First year was a little difficult because we didn't know that 16, 17, 18-year-olds could eat that much. We forgot what we could eat. But these young guys, I mean, they can go through some chow.
Waste not, want not.
Yeah. And you know, this year, again, we're going to be doing the same two meals that we always do. Not the same food, though. We're going to change things up a little bit this year. We're not going to tell anybody, but it's going to be some surprise. We're going to have some new dishes out. Or dishes that we haven't done for at least 7 or 8 years. And then we're going to have our cookout. And as always, all our brother knights, any knight, actually anyone that wants to come, you're more than welcome to have you come down for the hamburger and hot dog day, which is going to be Wednesday. And 5:45 will start. The only thing that we do ask is that you do have to notify me for us to have a head count. But any knight that wants to come, more than willing to have you. All you have to do is send an email to M Yakubik, Y-A-K-U-B-I-C-K, at comcast.net. Or I know that Joe will be more than willing to accept him here at the radio station.
That's right. Or you could call us, too. Yeah. You could do contact at 720WHYF.com. That's easier to spell than Yakubik, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I thought so, too, especially when the nuns would keep hitting me to make me do it right. But, and it's a good time. You get to see our young seminarians. I mean, you've had a good year this year.
We had four new priests and one on the docket as soon as we get a letter from Rome that will ordain a fifth one for the diocese.
So that's fantastic. And they were all at Quo Vadis Days. I mean,
yes.
I remember all of them. Father Du Bois. I remember Father Du Bois, who was at Quo Vadis as a high school student.
I remember that as well.
and now Father is, I guess he's just getting reassigned.
Yeah,
right?
he's receiving a ministry to assist priests who are having health issues and whatnot, replacement ministry. So, important ministry in the life of the church.
So, just fantastic the way that things occur.
How many seminarians do we have, Father?
This year it's down, and we saw this coming a bit. Mm-hmm. This year, I think we're at 11 seminarians, 12 technically counting Deacon Norbert, but we'll be at 11, which is the lowest in many years. Mm-hmm. Sadly, and if you want to get into this in the next segment, we saw that coming because of the morale problems from the grand jury a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. We're 4 years after that experience, and I was warned by other vocation directors who went through similar experiences in their own dioceses or states. They said for 5 years following that, morale's down. A lot of people they're worried, is this something we should do? Then also the pandemic. That shut down a lot of youth ministries and parishes and campus ministries in the high schools and colleges. And trying to get those young people back into leadership and that fellowship and leadership, because ultimately it's through that experience of leadership in a youth ministry or campus ministry that gets them really thinking, is God calling me to do this for the church? And because a lot of that was scattered for a year and a half, 2 years, it's hard. To gather back the pieces. But things are picking up again, and hopefully for next year we'll have these, I don't want to say numbers, because you don't want to play a numbers game.
Right.
You want to make sure that the men are doing this freely and with whole heart.
And with that, let us take our hard break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Night Talk. Again, we're here with Father Sawicki, the Director of Vocations. And Father, I guess we talked a lot about Quo Vadis Days, but we never really explained what it is or how you get involved.
People don't speak Latin anymore?
That's it, Father.
So Quo Vadis, it comes from a legend. Quo Vadis literally means in Latin, where are you going? And there's a story that on the road outside of Rome, there's a church called the Quo Vadis Church. And in one of the persecutions against the Christians, St. Peter, who's the Bishop of Rome, decided to leave Rome. And so he was walking out of Rome, and he sees the Lord, Jesus Christ, he's back, and he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus goes and says, I'm going into the city to be crucified once again with my people. And it was this whole notion that Peter was kind of chickening out, and he came back to his senses and turned back around and went back into the city to suffer with the Christian people. And ultimately, he was crucified on Vatican Hill. So the Lord asks us, where are you going? And that means, sometimes you have to look at yourself. You're going in one direction. You think the direction which is safety and security and where you're supposed to be going. But in reality, the Lord's asking you to do something else and to really be a true Christian man and I want to say, to buck up and to take up your cross and follow him. So that's that legend of Quo Vadis. And there's a church built on that spot where that apparition took place, right by the catacombs of St. Callistus. So anybody ever going to Rome, you'll see that. I was there a couple of years ago on vacation, and like, oh, well, what's this church over here? And then you say, oh, well, this is the church. You know, because everybody focuses on the big basilicas, and there's these little churches that also contain an equally important story.
And one of the things we were talking about during break is that, you know, our Brother Knights may be interested, and not just our Brother Knights, but all Catholics in the diocese, wondering how do they get their child into the system to perhaps see if they have discernment, or if nothing else, just to have a good quality Catholic faith-filled week.
Sure. So Quo Vadis Days runs Sunday through Monday, June 26th to the 30th at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, which is just about an hour south of Harrisburg on Route 15. The registration fee is $100, and there's always money available if that's prohibitive to people. But there should be pamphlets and registration forms available at the local parish. The pastor received all of them, but also register online, hbgdiocese.org/vocations. And it should be right there even on the diocesan website for the upcoming events. So, and you could register online in a very easy, just online form that you could fill out, plus the traditional paper form that you've hand fill out and you send it in through the USPS, and hopefully we'll get it by next year's Quo Vadis Days, knowing the way the post office has been with respect to all workers out there, but things have been a little slow. But yeah, so you're available to get it online or in person at the parish office.
And one of the things we were talking about, you know, we're talking about Quo Vadis Days, and naturally, you know, my mind always goes to the high school students. I always think of the 15 up to the 25-year-olds, but mostly looking at the younger guys because they kind of sit together, they congregate together at the meal especially, and that's when we see the most of them. But our diocese also, right off the top of my head, I think of Father Caponis, we have older individuals becoming priests.
We do, yeah. Father Jerry Claponis, who's he still has his dentist certification, but he is retired from the state hospital system, and he was just ordained two Saturdays ago at the cathedral. He'll be assigned to St. Catherine Drexel in Mechanicsburg. And another one, Deacon Richard Groff, who doesn't look his age, but he looks not 60, but he is. And he was, for many years, worked in the diocese as a school teacher at York Catholic, campus minister at Franklin and Marshall, very active in youth ministry, ran youth ministry at his home parish, Holy Trinity in Columbia, as well as director of religious education at St. Joe's Mechanicsburg. He's very well known to us. He was an only child, and when his mother passed away, that burning in his heart just intensified, and so he became a seminarian for us a number of years ago, and all goes well. He'll be ordained a priest next June of 2023. You know, Quo Vadis Days, it's one of the experiences of Quo Vadis Days is when the seminarians get to interact with the young men. These young men are seeing guys, maybe not too many years older than they are, who are studying for the priesthood. But it's also, you know, if you think about it, how many priests does the average listener know? Okay, well, yeah, we have a pastor, maybe an assistant pastor, three or four assistant pastors in the last 10 years, four or five priests. There's 120 priests, 130 priests in the Diocese of Harrisburg. And so it's a real blessing when the various priests come to visit at Quo Vadis Days, and these young men will be in a small group with a priest they've never met before. Last year, I know Monsignor Bill Richardson came down, and he led a small group, and you know, he was vocation director back in the 70s, 80s. And he went like a hand fit in a glove. He went right into it. Just leading that conversation with, I put him up with the young adults, those guys that were in their college years and the early 20s. But then I remember two Quo Vadis Days ago, Father Bob Berger came down. Anybody knew Colonel Berger, longtime priest of the diocese, and was a military chaplain. And he called me up. He goes, "Jonathan, I want to come down, give a talk. Give me 15 minutes. And I'm not going to say no to Colonel Berger, because, I mean, even in his mid-80s, he could snap you in half, okay? Because he began his talk. He pulled out, put a Bible, and he put it on the ledge on the podium, and he said, "Fellas, when I was in Nam jumping out of airplanes," because he was a parachuting chaplain, the jaws hit the ground. And the young man came back on the evaluations. He said his was one of the most favorite talks. because I think he was real. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing to see the seminarians like an older brother or a priest as father. Mm-hmm. But when you see that priest who's grandfather or great-grandfather, and I say this to our priests in the diocese, do not underestimate who you are to these kids, that your gift of priesthood to them is what's going to inspire vocations, not a vocation director going into a parish doing a little one-off talk. It's those priests who then are able to say to their son or their grandson, spiritually speaking, you should think about this. And they listen because these are people that they tremendously respect. And Quivadas Days helps kids see priests as normal men, real men, guys out there playing ultimate frisbee or ladder golf or, you know, clearing up the house in poker or something like that.
Or the water balloons. I'm a big fan of water balloons. I used to watch Father Wilkie. I mean,
he's an easy target.
Yeah, but he used to take it. I mean, I'm not joking. He'd crawl on his hands and knees to pull that back as far as he could to sling the water out. And I always thought, why pity the poor kid that gets hit with that balloon? But it is a time, and I think that that started back in 2005 with Father Lavoie, that
yes.
You know, you are not just a priest, you're also a man.
Yes.
And I think that meant so much to the young people, because I think, you know, back in my day when I was young, and I know Joe and I'm sure Russ are the same, I remember when the bishop would come, it was an entourage.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you felt so far removed from the bishop and all the priests that were there, you just felt like, man, this is really something, but I'm not part of this. I'm not really part of this. I'm like on the fringes of the parish, and I just happen to be there when this is occurring. And those aren't the days anymore.
No, yeah. And those weren't always the healthiest days. You know, no. when you have a sense of fear of the clergy rather than a healthy admiration, yeah, that's just not healthy. Yeah. You know, that's what Pope Francis, when he tells parish clergy, you know, you got to smell like your sheep. You got to be one with your people. And at Quivadas Days, when you see, you know, Bishop Gaynor get in line carrying his own tray at a picnic, at a picnic lunch, mm-hmm. and the kids, and he sits down because he wants to sit down with the kids. And he sits down and, you know, at first you see the kids are like, you know, are we allowed to talk to him? What do you say? Kids will say, what do I say to the bishop? Say, good morning, bishop. Well, can you pass the salt? You know?
Yeah, I think what you make a good point, Mike. I went to public school, so my interaction with our priest was very limited. And I was afraid to talk to – I didn't talk to priests when I was in high school. I mean, I went to Mass every week, and we started a youth group when I was just leaving high school. But – I didn't really have any interaction with priests and talking to them on a personal one-to-one basis. So I think this is a great opportunity for young people to do that and find out that you are human beings, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and try being a convert. I was a convert after I married my wife. And, you know, that fear of the priest at that time, it was like very palpable, you know. You just didn't know what to say to them.
And in reality, we like to be treated, I don't want to say normally, but, you know, because sometimes people's normal is a little crude.
Yeah.
But you just want to be treated like a normal person. You'd had a pancake breakfast at my parish in Steelton, you know. It's just, hey, can I join you? Oh, Father, sit down. Can I get you? No, I'm going to have some bacon and pancakes, you know. Just enjoy being with normal people.
Yeah, I think there's a level of respect because, and I don't think it's any different for a priest than it is for anyone. I mean, you would not go. There are a lot of presidents of the United States. I do not appreciate them or their philosophy. However, the individual is still the president of the United States, and he deserves a certain level of respect. And I think that's the same thing with our priest. I mean, our priest and our bishop deserve a level of respect just because, if nothing else, they hold our Lord. I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I'm in awe every time, you know, the priest raises up Jesus's body. And I mean, I have to bow my head because I'm just scared to even look at him. That's our Lord.
And I'm humbled every time I do it when you realize this and you realize that gift. And that's what one of the magic things of Quivadas Days, when kids ask, Father, what's it like when you celebrate Mass? They don't have, They can't ask that question when they're in Trinity High School, McDevitt High School. That, you know, what are you asking that stupid question for? No, and kids like say, well, I always wondered, what's it like to hear a confession? What's the worst confession you ever heard? I can't tell you. But I can say it's humbling. And then I think they see the faith in a real lens and not just in a textbook abstract way.
And I'll tell you, Father, we've learned a lot. I think it's we love these shows. I mean, I wish we could have every priest, all 120, to come in here. I really and truly do, because all of you have a unique perspective. And we thank you. And we thank our Lord that you are Director of Vocations.
Thank you.
Doing such a great job
in
the Diocese of Harrisburg. And on behalf of Joe Nebezinski, Russ Fry, Father Sawicki, naturally, and Joe Murphy sitting at home suffering. Thank you for listening to Night Talk. God bless each and every one.